Hello and welcome to the Roundtable. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba this weekend. And today we are going to do a very important discussion, the countdown to the polls. Can South Sudan deliver a credible election in December 2026 this year? That's what we are going to be discussing today here with our panelists. And later on, our lines will be open to you, where you can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. Or you can also visit our Facebook page and drop your questions there. I will be reading some of them. Or also send us your questions to our SMS number 091-2177-141. That's what we are discussing today. Can South Sudan deliver a credible election come December 22nd, 2026? As we join our panelists here, the National Election Commission has announced that the government has released $5 million US for civic and voter education and another additional $1 million for voter registration preparations. At the same time, South Sudan faces political uncertainty and also security concerns, funding gap, and the question about readiness for the country's first ever election since independence in 2011. Are South Sudanese truly prepared to vote in December 2026? Is the country ready for a credible election? And where exactly is the money going? Those are some of the questions we are going to be answering here and seeking answers from my panelists. And I am joined here already in the studio by two of my guests, and they will be with me throughout the discussion. Gabriel Boldeng is the Secretary General of the National Election Commission. You are most welcome to Red Mirror.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, and I am also having Edmond Yakani, who is the Chairperson of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization and a leading civil society activist. You are most welcome, Edmond Yakani.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sunny, for welcoming me, and thanks to the listeners of Mirror FM.
Yes, and let me begin by asking this very simple question to all of us here in the studio. I will be expecting a very brief answers from, let me begin with the SG of the National Election Commission. Just tell our listeners in a minute, is South Sudan ready for election in December? Has the SG of the National Election Commission?
Thank you so much for having me on your morning program, and I thank all the listeners, and this will be an engaging program. Yes, the country is ready for National Election Commission, and National Election is committed to deliver credible, inclusive, and feasible election that reflect the will of the people or the will of the electorates. And to be precise, it will be an election that will enable all eligible voters to exercise their democratic rights in the first democratic election in an independent state. And the indication so far, despite the political complexity, there has been some progress that have been made so far. And as you have indicated, that the first initial positive step is the government securing national election headquarters, the former AIDA Hotel, which is a huge achievement because you cannot conduct election under a tree, so you need a building, which is a critical infrastructure that we have a national election headquarters. Number two, you already said that the government has released 5 million towards civics and voter education, which is class one, because our people need to be educated about their democratic right. And this is where this money will go toward civics and voter education. It is a huge exercise. It is very important. Every voter need to know what are their rights, so that they know who to choose and how to choose their leaders. And this is where this money will go to. Then we receive 1 million toward voter registration, which is the most important thing. Again, to all the listeners, you have to register. You have to be registered in order to vote. So that 1 million will lay the infrastructure printing of form, designing the form, various form, candidate form, voting form. So this is really a positive step that mean NEC is ready for election and government is showing that political will.
Yes, before we hear from Edmund, just two clarification, Secretary General of National Election Commission. What is the eligible age for one to vote in this country?
Yeah, the eligible vote is 18.
18?
18, yeah.
One must be 18?
Might be 18.
For you to register?
To register and vote.
Okay. And then you said class one is the money received. How many stages will this election go through?
Yeah, there are the most important things are three. The polling, registration of the political parties is already being done, which is the first step. Those who will play have already been registered by political councils. And then we'll do campaign. And finally, the polling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are the three most important.
Okay. We still have enough time to discuss a lot with you here. Edmund Yakani, is the country ready to conduct election this December? As a civil society, somebody who interacts a lot, just tell us briefly before we go into our detailed discussion.
The answer to this question is between swapping the yes and the no, mm-hmm. with the conditions. Swapping the yes if National Election Commission is given the money, and if the National Election Commission is given the political will and the commitment of a political actor, because there are critical decisions which are not the mandate of the National Election Commission. It's a political decision. Mm. That's how you swap the yes. They know you swap if the political commitment is not seriously taken up to create an enabling environment for NEC to deliver, then the answer is no. So what are those conditions that we need to put forward? And I think that for me comes later on if we continue the discussion. For instance, they have received money, 1 million for voter registration. So now what you need to do is that automatically the political leadership need to allow NEC to exercise its mandate in getting to the constituencies. That means the constituencies need to be depoliticized so that the citizens are registered.
Meaning,
you don't want to have this culture of constituency so-and-so is under control of this political party.
Mm-hmm.
And the political party say, no, we will not allow NEC to come to our constituency because we feel NEC is not paying allegiance to us, it's paying allegiance to others.
So the setup of this...
We need to depoliticize the constituency because it is not a political responsibility of NEC. NEC is a technical institution. Politics rally with the politicians. So if the politicians remain rigid, if the politicians are not creating that political acceptance for the elections to go, that's where the challenge is. But in terms of technicality, NEC, they have them. The other thing that also that is going to face NEC politically, it is the legal framework. The legal framework needs certain political decisions which are not under NEC. For instance, if we're going to use... You know, and this is why I want to take this opportunity in the beginning, Sunny, to tell the audience very clear. There are audience outside there that have a direct blame to NEC. And actually, that blame is not going to NEC. That blame is going to political leadership.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, let me give you one example that I don't know whether it is because lack of knowledge or what. When NEC came out and declared on 22nd December 2025 that we're going to use a constituency of 2010, there was a lot of blow that people... take the blows to NEC. Why are these blows supposed to go political leadership? Because what NEC one is, okay, if you say you need to go for constituencies to be registered, population census, it's not NEC responsibility. It's a political leadership to release the money quickly and create, and NEC's applying the law. So what NEC is up to, and this is why I want to tell people to know the difference.
Yeah.
NEC's primary responsibility is to respect the law. Whether the what NEC decided on the law fit to the context or does not fit to the context is not a mistake of NEC. It's the mistake of those who are supposed to meet the requirement that the law needs. For instance, when NEC say we're going to use 2010 constituencies, it is not NEC's responsibility to answer is ruling a constituency.
Whose responsibility is that?
Let me continue.
Yeah.
It's not responsibility of NEC to answer the question, is ruling a constituency of unity under 2010, is people a constituency of Jungle under 2010? That's not NEC. That's supposed to be the political leadership of the country.
Okay.
To answer. What NEC want to do is that this is what the law say. For example, on Monday, they will go out and announce the electoral time calendar. So it's not the responsibility. It's the law demanding them to do that.
So they are bound by the law.
They are bound by the law. If they undermine the law, then that's why we shall blame them. So what they're doing is that. So for me, is that sometimes
the right people who were supposed to blame were leaving them free, smiling and enjoying ACs, and were blaming the wrong person.
Okay.
So for me, that is where the question of, is a country ready for election? I wish we could have one politician here, or the political parties actually to be here.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a question where we need to ask them, have you created a good enough condition? Because they have too many conditions.
We will have them here, don't worry. Yes. And I think, General,
in line of what my brother Yakania said, that the goal of civic education is really to educate citizens so that they are informed about their right. And it's, as you said, the amendment of the law is...
They don't understand.
They don't understand, but it is their right. Like as I speak, the amendment to delink the constitution and delink the census as a requirement for election, as stipulated in RSS, has been delinked, but it has been seen in December. So when our citizens, the voters, to ask their MPs, they are sitting here in Juba, what are they doing?
So it's not your role?
It is our role to push to make sure there is legal clarity, but it is the citizen themselves.
Okay.
Because the most important is legal clarity,
okay,
the act.
So when will the National Election Commission begin the voter registration and the civic education?
The civic education has already been launched last week. And next week it will be lined across 10 states and 3 administrative areas. So already the trend for civic education has taken off.
Okay, before you, what exactly are you going to be telling the citizen when you talk about civic education? What are the details of what you are going to be telling the voter who is going to vote on that day? What are the specific messages?
Yeah, we have our curriculum, national curriculum.
Mm.
So, and we have education strategies. So in the training manual, the citizens are trained about their democratic right, how to vote, their polling station. They need to know where their polling station is. They need to really engage with their with their citizens. Because at the end of the day, those they will elect should be responsible leaders that will answer to their needs. So these are, what is your right? How to vote? When to vote? And where? So these are the steps that will, and your right, your democratic right as a voter.
Now, what about the voter registration? When will NEC begin registration of the voters across the country, and how long will it take?
Yeah, we will begin it in the first weeks of July. So that is where the
after voter registration,
after the Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that where we will launch voter registration. But as of last week, civic education has been launched. And across the 10 state and 3 administrative, next week you will see a lot of activities across the country.
Mm. And can an election be held in December this year, given the limited time you have?
Yeah, again, in the light of what Yakania said, it is possible, but we need legal clarity and some political decisions. What type of election? Like now the law said it is general election. And I hope in the next few weeks when the law is being reviewed, then in our consultation they will see what is possible, because general election from president up to the lowest level. So these are the legal clarity that my brother Yakani has said. And we still have time to engage with lawmakers and political leaders. And that is, again, the citizen engaging with their political leaders so that to hatch them to make clear legal framework, clear political decision to pave the way for general election as stipulated in the agreement.
Yes, Edmund Yakani, how can the citizens engage with their political leaders given that access to them is not as easy as you may just sit here and talk about? You know this, all this.
Actually, to answer you, Sunny, we need to start. What is the rate of the political leaders' acceptance for election and fear for election, if we are to rate in percentage? I will tell you the political leaders' fear for election is higher than the political leaders' acceptance for election.
How do you know that?
Look at the case of Willie Angor Ngok, who expressed himself as SPRM youth leader, who challenged, don't vote for Woye, you vote for people who will deliver for you the service.
Yeah.
What happened to him? He was locked up. So that's a clear indicator that if citizens become civically effective and proactive, political leaders want to abuse power of the authorities. So for me, engaging with political leaders, as like my brother have said, it is our constitutional right. If they lock their doors, Stand in the doors until whenever they open, they walk out. They tell them, my friend, I've been for the last 8 hours waiting for your door to be open. Because when they go to public, they say, our doors are open. So for me, citizens have to be proactive. And for example, honorables, they're in the parliament.
Mm.
You can go to the parliament and find them, they're sitting outside there. Good enough, actually, thanks God that these days are not so active. There are most of them are in there. You can go under the trees, you find them under the trees, you question them and you follow them. And you can engage them formally. And one of the things you can engage the citizens is a media outlet. These days, if you can't access the radio, you can access the TikTok.
Okay.
You can do your own recording, your own video. Any question, please? Your Excellency President, Your Excellency Speaker, Honorable Speaker, Honorable So-and-so, we need to speak to you. You need to give an answer. So for me, citizens need to be proactive in demanding the creation of a good enough condition for elections. But my assessment is that actually political leaders' fear for going for election is higher than political leaders' acceptance for election. Because simply, some of them fear if they go to the constituencies, they will get zero. And that's why some of them become sensitive to NEC. When NEC is passing through their office, why do you fear?
Yes, SG, how far can the $6 million realistically take the Electoral Commission or the NEC in all the three administrative areas plus the 10 states? Is this money enough for you?
The money is not enough, but it enables us to lay a strong foundation for electoral infrastructure and civics and voter education. So it is a good start. But again, we need consistency in releasing funds along with consistent political will and consistent efforts toward amending the National Election Act so that we have a clear legal framework.
Yes, you have talked about the issue of legality and the issue of political and legal clarity. And still, that requires some time now for the politicians to come forward and determine. Why spend millions of dollars before these critical political issues are resolved?
Yeah, we say election is a process. You see, it is a process that should have started a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot wait. Because the legal framework, it is just there are some inconsistencies. So while we are waiting for legal and political clarity, there's nothing that cannot forbid us to educate citizens, lay infrastructure, so that we are ready. When those political decisions are made, when the legal clarity is made, then...
What if they disagree and say we are pushing the election?
It is
the politician and
it is to the citizen. It is not a question of the neck. Mm. Will the citizen be happy to have an extended government again? And to have another transition government? So that is absolutely between the citizen and the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
We are just the implementers. We are referee. Our goal is to make sure to level the play field, to make sure citizens do know their right to choose their leader. So as we are just playing, we are just referee. And our goal is to make sure rules are in place, a ground field is labeled for citizen to vote and for a politician to practice and play their politics.
Mm. Yes, Edmund.
Yeah, of course, you know, NEC is exactly, I like that description of a referee. NEC is a referee that goes to the playing field and blow the whistle. So whether you're ready to come out of your room as a team to the playing field is your responsibility. So NEC's responsibility is to blow the whistle that, my friend, Yomkida, we're going for Intikal, but whether you can report or not. And that is where, Sunny, if you see, there are some political actions that I don't want to cover it up. I want to take opportunity of these platforms to start challenging some politicians. We have seen some moves from some politicians as NEC is preparing, warming up as a referee, you know, dressing its dress and preparing the whistle for people to go for election. There are some political actors in the country, very powerful actors, close to the president, are doing a contradictory activities. There's this thing called inter-party dialogue. Inter-party dialogue among who and who? Where are we heading? So this culture of politicians surviving, buying extension by too many excuses, need to be questioned. And I think that's the responsibility for us as citizens to question this politician who survived through extension. And then, you know, there's these things of where you come to an environment where you push entity like NEC. NEC start engaging as a referee. Then you start creating an excuse that, no, the playing field, there's a potholes here, there's something. Where were you in checking the playground before NEC could whistle the blow? And you have the responsibility. It's not NEC's responsibility. So for me, my take is that we may have the atmosphere or all the emotions that we're going for elections, but it's still those who fear the ballot boxes and those who encourage the bullets may undermine us going in December to 2026 election simply because they want to survive through extension. They want to survive through the barrel of the gun. This is a moment we need to really move towards the ballot box. But the political commitment, the political will, and this political will is demonstrated by what? Adequate funding to NEC. Imagine His Excellency President will meet with the leadership of NEC and will promise them money and will be briefed publicly that they meet the chair of NEC, have met with the president, they are given, and somebody sit in the Ministry of Finance want to reverse that decision of the president. Is this politician really for elections? So I think for me, the first primary people I'm putting on red line and I'm looking there and watching at them, and they should be properly tracked, is the Ministry of Finance and Planning. Will they respect the directives towards creating, deploying resources enough to NEC? Because we will not blame NEC until NEC tell us that, guys, the budget of the election we have received. There and then we have the energy to come and blame NEC. But when they're giving them like, yes, it drops. Election is a process. Mm-hmm. A process is a steps. Steps goes together with context. So if you, even if you give them money and you don't create a context that makes this step move, like, for example, the interpretation of the law. The interpretation of the law politically rests with the political leaders. For NEC, what they will do, they will just set for you the law. They say, look here, you have agreed upon, and this is what you agree. And I remember when the chairperson of NEC, last time, in 2015, remind some politicians before this crisis of 2013, that in 2015, you're going to go for election. This is what the law says. Some people say, Ganunda tajibu minwen. So you're a political leader who sit in a political seat, and you're not reading the law that you have agreed upon.
Okay.
So for me, Sani Martin, the reality is that we have the appetite of voting for people whom we want very high. But those who have the responsibility to allow us to vote, their appetite of going to the ballot boxes is very low.
Okay.
And we as a citizen, we must motivate them.
All right. Yes, Secretary General.
Yeah, I think let me, along this line, a lot of people, especially politicians, as my brother said, has been, some of them are calling me asking, how would I win? So I told them
they're asking you already.
Yeah. So I told them to read Electoral Bible. So that is National Election Act.
Okay.
So that is the Bible that if you want to win as a politician and if you want to choose a right leader, then you, the citizen, you have to read Electoral Bible, Electoral Law, so that you understand what are your rights, how to do it. And then you who went to be elected, you read it so that you know how best to attract.
How independent is your commission if people are already calling you before election day? How much calls will you get that day?
We are very, very independent, especially the nine policymakers, the nine commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
The commission, the transitional constitution gave us that power, that we are independent, impartial, so you cannot push us around. Mm-hmm. We have to do up to the law, because the nine commissioners have swear that they will protect the electoral interests of the citizen. So there is no layout here. When we cannot be pushed.
Okay.
Sunny, I want to add something there. Also, as citizens, we need to watch how many political parties want to interfere with the work of NEC.
Mm-hmm.
Because as NEC stands at independent point, some political parties want to push NEC to be seen as is partisan.
Okay.
So also, we have that responsibility as citizens to also follow political parties to dissent themselves in interfering and pushing their fingers and putting hard. Because our responsibility, like what SG have said, as citizens, we watch at the commissioners. Are they going to parties that are politically motivated? Are they eating night hours? Those are the sort of things we're watching at them as citizens.
Right.
But the same time, as citizens, let's watch at political parties that want to dictate on NEC, on how NEC should operate in the way that they wish, while actual NEC, by the law, is independent.
All right. Yes, Secretary General of the National Election Commission, what are the requirements for this 18-year-old South Sudanese who want to vote? What do I need to bring for me to qualify? One is my age. So what are the legal documents I should bring?
You have your ID.
If I don't have IDs, because many South Sudanese does not have national identity card in the rural areas.
The law say there are identifiers can be chief of the local area. So your traditional chief plus your relative can act to identify you that you are the right person that will vote in that location.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not only relying
On
formal document. And given our tradition, especially across South Sudan, our traditional leaders play a critical role. We have subship, we have headship, and these are the people throughout history that had been trusted by our citizens. And therefore, that was why our government put it in the law that we cannot rely only on formal document. that we have these historical and traditional leaders that can identify voters.
What have we put in place as a National Election Commission to avoid someone registering twice? Because in my village, I may be known from my father's side and my mom's side. I'm also known. I can be recommended by anybody from that side. So what process have we put in place to avoid this issue of one person registering twice in one village?
Yeah, first of all, we have regulations that for we have regulations that that are enabled to prevent such things, and then the training of our officials.
So what are the regulations?
No, we have the regulation how to vote, the regulation for identification. Mm-hmm. They are in place, and also the training, mm-hmm. the training of our electoral officials. So. And then
that's why I brought you here today, yeah. to explain to our listeners exactly. This is part of the
civics and voter education.
So explain to them the process from the first week of July. Mm. People from Ural will be going to the polling to any center to begin the registration. Mm. So before I go there, do I need to go to my paramount chief and say, I don't have a national ID or Ginsia, as it is known in South Sudan, we go together with my chief or he will meet me there? How does it work?
No, it will be, like, let me this way. As of last week, yeah. the chair, Professor Abednego, chair of National Election Commission, has already directed all the chairperson in all 10 states.
Yes.
Now, as of next week and this week, they have been doing assessing the voting centers. So by next week, we will know mm-hmm. how many registration centers we have across the country. Mm-hmm. And then there will be information. The electoral official will be moving, telling people what to do during the registration. The microphone will be moving around that during registration. If you don't have your ID, you come with your ship or sub-ship to the registration centers.
Mm-hmm. And to add into that, Sunny, there's something that also I want to bring to your attention. One party that was one entity or institution is not forget. The Political Parties Council have announced their focal points for all the 10 states.
Coordinators.
They have been announced or they have been published. And I saw it in iRadio.
Yes.
Those people also have a responsibility to ensure that political parties are not manipulating the registration process. Mm-hmm. Because what you say, sometimes somebody can register twice. It may be actual interest of political parties to start getting numbers. You know, election rigging does not start on the polling day. Actually, election rigging starts right from the registration. So somebody can determine to start manipulating the system. So for NEC will be waiting for the standards of the law. The law says, Edmund, you come to register with the SG. I come to SG as a NEC official. Say, okay, who are you? I'm Edmund. Why are you here? I'm coming to register for the election. Okay, proof. Do you have Ginsia? And I'm indigenous. Who is your chief? I bring my chief here. Ask the chief. He has standard questions. Chief, how do you prove this person is like this? Chief, can you bring somebody else? Chief will say, I'll register. But political party may allow me to register with SG, and the same political party, because SG is my father's side, political party will bring to register. The same political party will take me to you as my mother's side to go and also register. And even sometimes I'm registered with different names, by the way. Yeah. I'm registered here with SG Edmund Yakane, but I'll go there and register Yakane Edmund.
Mm-hmm. These are two different people.
In the paper, these are two different people. Mm-hmm. But if you use East African concept, you say, this is one person who might use East African style of names, and then South Sudan style of names. But we may shift. So for me, it is upon the citizens' responsibility to use the coordinators of the Political Parties Council to undertake responsibility and ensure that the registered political parties are not manipulating the electoral process. Because sometimes we'll be so much focusing on NEC, and while we forget actual political parties in manipulating the electoral process without the knowledge of NEC. So partly it is our responsibility as citizen under a concept called domestic election observation. Mm-hmm. A citizen will report to NEC when we see one political party is trying to manipulate things. We either report to NEC or report to the coordinator of the political party. Look here, this particular party is trying to manipulate the numbers. And not only that, Sunny, some political parties will demobilize registration, by the way. Most NEC, because guy they register us, mm-hmm. they will come and tell people, don't go and register. If you register, this is the results, this is what. So instead of NEC expecting people to come and register, some people somewhere is working for demobilizing people not to register.
Okay.
You see? And the idea is so that you have low numbers. So it is upon us citizens to watch in these two institutions simultaneously how NEC officials perform, but also how the coordinator of the political parties perform. The coordinator of the political parties is to make sure discipline. And remember, Political Parties Council have launched a code of conduct. for the elections.
Yes.
That code of conduct is actually to discipline the politicians, not to manipulate the work of NEC.
Okay.
Because there's a high chances that political parties will be manipulating the work of NEC, and without the knowledge of the Political Parties Council.
Right.
And NEC have no responsibility to hold them accountable. It's the Political Parties Council. But the Political Parties Council cannot hold them accountable until we generate evidence. So as a citizen, Minahasi, after Uyunak Zerial Tanimeri in your constituency, Asi is not South Sudan. It is your constituency. Know your constituency, know the behavior of the people of your constituency, know who is want to manipulate. So for me, under the civic education, people have to understand their constituency, where they are. And I like what the SG say. The chairperson of NEC have directed the states to identify polling stations. For me, that result of the polling station,
registration centers
need to be declared public. So it all of a came or later when my friend know your registration center and start watching what is going on here. Because otherwise, if you feel that I want to come to the registration center in the last day, results are already calculated and all games have been played.
Right.
So for me, it's our responsibility to deal with the politicians.
And I think this is what I said at the beginning, that civics education is class one.
Mm-hmm.
So these nitty-gritty things will be explained in the workshop. And that is the purpose of this money.
Okay.
The $5 million is to really have workshops under the tree, in the classrooms,
All over the country.
All the country. And also it will not be a NEC responsibility alone. We, civil society, will participate in this.
Yeah.
So that our goal is to make sure we have our electoral Bible. There are regulations. And all of this, there are about the curriculum, national curriculum. So that is the purpose of releasing this money. And that's why we have been insisting that you cannot go straight, because some of the politicians have been pushing, why can you not go straight to registration?
Yeah.
We say no, because you cannot go to class two without class one.
Yes.
And our class one is civic education. And all these procedures will be taught.
Okay, and before we come to the issue of transparency around the use of this money, I would like to find out from you. I live here in Juba, but I want to go and vote in my village. If I register here, can I go and vote in my village? Or I have to travel physically to my village to go and register so that I can elect my MP who will represent me at the national level here in Juba?
Yeah, definitely. You have to register in your registration center. The place you will register is the place you will go and vote.
So I can't register here in
Juba? You can register and go and vote there, no.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't have the information.
Mm-hmm.
So we would not be able to identify you, because we won't have your data.
Okay.
You know? So you have to, where you registered is where you should go and vote. So anybody that went to vote in his best place or in his village has to travel to where he went to vote. If you went to register here, if you went to vote here, then you registered in Juba. But you cannot say you registered here, thinking that then you will go and board it. No, it has to be at the registration.
So that comes to the issue of not surprising people who like to vote. Will you give ample time so that, because you know the economy of this country right now is not favoring for one to travel from here up to Raja, go and register, come back. So is there an ample time? What is the duration you have put in your calendar for voter registration? You are yet to come with that?
Yeah, now the law said it is 86 days, but with the remaining time, this is a part of the clarity now.
Mm-hmm.
The law said 86 days.
When was it supposed to start, 86 days?
No, the 86, it start the day of registration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the day of registration.
According to the law?
No, according to the to the law.
Okay.
The law says
if you begin
within 6 months now, there is enough time that you can register it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the law gives NEC flexibility. If we know that there are too many people, NEC has a right to at least extend. Yeah, we have that in the law.
Okay.
So if there are so many people, and 86 is not enough, then NEC has the law allowed us to return, like during the voting day. So if there is so much people, so much line, people went to vote, then why do you, the law said NEC can extend.
On the line.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, everybody, especially those on the line.
Yeah.
Those on the line. The law. So it is the same thing with registration. If there is a mass number of people who went to register, so why would NEC deny them their democratic right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the bottom line here is everyone must go and register where you want to vote.
Not exactly.
No other way. Yeah.
Okay. If you live here in Juba and you come from Raja, you come from Kapoita, you have to travel to Kapoita.
To Kapoita, yeah.
Yes. At your own expenses.
Of course. That is part of your democratic right.
Okay. Son, let me add something. Let me add something. First, people from today need to know, if NEC declare that tomorrow we are starting registration, and you want your vote to be counted in your area of interest, if it's your hometown. For example, if I come from Yei, and my interest, I need to decide on who is the governor of Jongole because I want to do a trading on fishing in Jongole, my friend, I will leave Yei and I go to register in Jongole.
Okay.
I'll go and register either in Bor, and if actually the fishing is in Duk.
Is that allowed?
It's allowed. I'm a South Sudanese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a South Sudanese. I can vote there. Okay. I can leave Yei and go to Duk. Register because I want to vote for a person in Duke who is an MP that will allow me to go when his campaign and say, my friend, you know, easy for me, the fishing business. I want to take to Congo.
Okay.
So it means you must register in the center where you want your vote to be counted and your vote will make a difference. If you are in Duke and you are from Yei and you want to go and register in Gimunu, you have to leave Duke on your own expenses. Go to Gimunu, the time of the 68 days, go and register there. Now, that's one stage. Mm. The second stage is this practice. I've seen in 2010 elections, and I want to make it here very clear. And I need to take it very clear. Political parties need to take it. Sometimes, Sunny, you go and register in the village, but because your business is in Torit, you go and register in the village in Yambio, and you leave your voting card to your chief in the village, and you go to Torit, and you tell chief, when the day of the voting is coming, please, I'm coming, bring my ticket. So you find everybody register, and their voting cards, they leave with the chief. That practice happened in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave the chief to be a custodian of protecting your voter card because you're going somewhere. You don't want to lose it because the chief is there in the center. He's the chief of that area. Now, here rigging comes very smart. Some political parties will go and start forging vote cards and start giving, you know, if you leave the chief with 10, on the polling day, you come to rise chief with 20.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them have been
but
forged.
But where will the human being come from?
Let me tell you, these things happened in 2010 election.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Central Equatoria, some constituency. But then I was head of Sunde as a domestic observation.
Yeah.
We're able to see some people start coming with extra voting card. You say, my friend, where did you get this one from? So when you squeeze them, it was a forged one.
Mm.
So for me, for citizens, I have to know that your voting card, don't give it to anybody.
Okay, what about this scenario whereby some parties may say, okay, these are our supporters. We can transport them to this center for them to go and register there. Is that allowed?
Obviously, as a party, you want to transfer your people to go and register.
Mm.
It's not the business of NEC. It's not the business. What NEC needs is that people you come to meet the requirement of the law. And that is where the role of the political parties comes in. That's why I'm saying we need to treat NEC and political parties council simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
What about if people start ferrying voters on the expenses? Not only that, by the way, Sunny, some people may deny other people not to go and register. What I've said, political parties can play that role, by the way. They may deny people whom they think are supporters of one party from registering, and they may ferry their own. And some politicians, Sunny, they have competition. For example, it is me, Akani, competing with the same person in my constituency.
Yeah.
I may actually frustrate my colleague of the same party by making sure his voters that I know of his village are not registered. And I will create chaos.
Okay.
I will create a schemesis of violence in that area for them not to come and register in the day of the registration and wild mind register. That's why as a citizen, we have a full responsibility to ensure that if the country is going for elections, our responsibility is to ensure what is required for election is respected by the political leaders and we honor it. So for me, those are very critical things. So you can't, and it's very serious with the pastoralists, by the way. Pastoralists who are moving. Yeah, and then our Dinka, our Nuer, who moved too much in the bush, the Murle, you register here. On the polling day, you find you registered in Bor. In the polling day, you are in Magui.
Looking for vote. Pastures with the animals.
You can't vote in Magui.
You have to come back.
You have to come back. So the politicians who their voters are pastoralists have to invest enough money to educate them. And that's why what NEC is preparing class one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a shared responsibility.
All right. Yes, Secretary General, what specific milestones must be achieved between now and the election day, according to NEC?
The most important is legal clarity. So we hope in the next few weeks, again, the law has to be clear. So
maybe for our listeners who might have just joined us now, what are these legal clarities you are seeking for? Maybe briefly.
Yeah, already the government, the peace agreement, made said the election should be held with the new constitutions and new census. So last December, the political parties who signed the agreement agreed that to delink the new constitutional, the new constitutions and census as a requirement. And that now the law has to be amended to delink these two articles from the constitutions and from the electoral law. So that is the clarity we need, one of the clarity we need. And also now with there are some legal inconsistency. We have returned back to 2010 Parliament. So 102 National Geographical Consequences. And the current law say 360. So they need to amend that in the current electoral law so that it go back to the law, electoral law of 2010.
Okay, so
maybe I can add the legal clarity that NEC need to have in place. That is critical. One, when NEC say, for example, let me start with the constituencies that he raised.
Mm-hmm, the 102 and 160.
Yes. 2010 constituency defined the size of the parliament as 204 seats. That is 2010 constituency. Define the size of parliament, 204 seats. The law that is now in force for the elections says the size of parliament is 332 seats. Okay? And that's what SG was saying. Now, you need to have a decision that the declared constituents of 2010 apply in consistency with the size of the parliament. So it means you need to amend the law to reduce the parliament from 332 seats to 204 seats. That's one thing. Or you need to agree in the law how to redistribute the created additional seats to the size of the parliament in 2010. Which are they? 96 MPs who were by then relieved from Khartoum after independence were appointed to the 204. Mm-hmm. And president appointed 66 to the 204. So you need a legal clarity on that aspect. Number two, the current law have given the president 5% appointment to the parliament, while 2010 constituency have never given president that responsibility of 5% appointment. This is a legal clarity you need to put in place. Other legal clarity, 2010, Ruang is part and partial of Unity State. Greater Pibora Miso area is part and partial of Jongole State. So you need to have a legal clarity. How do you handle Ruang and Greater Bureau Administrative Area, which you create them in the new law, which does not exist in the...
And even the other clarity, especially with three administrative areas, our transitional constitution mm-hmm. said the Shiva administrators are still appointed by the president.
Exactly.
But the electoral law said the Shiva administrators are elected as much as president and the governor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So we need that clarity.
Exactly.
Number two, the Shiva administrator will be elected. But the electoral law doesn't tell us the size of the assembly. So how many people?
Okay.
Yes.
In that administrative areas.
In the administrative area. So how many people will be the executive, will be the legislative wing of the government of administrators.
Hmm.
And that is why we delayed a little bit. Like we have not yet established, we have not appointed
these areas
mm-hmm. because the law was not clear.
So you have not established offices in these areas.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Is it because of this legal clarity?
The silence.
Because it said, the electoral law said, there are 5 state commissioners mm-hmm. for the 10 states, but it doesn't tell us...
How many commissioners?
For the administrative area. But next week, we are going to visit all the 3 administrative areas, and we are going to engage with them, and then we will... establish their...
How critical is this decision or this clarity to you as NEC?
It is very, very, very important because we don't want our citizens... First, the law has to be very clear because the clearer the electoral law, the better for managing the election. And especially, you know, as politicians and political parties, they will find accuse here, accuse there. But the law clear is very important. For that. And then for our citizens in three administrative areas. So some A lot of them, even since yesterday, they had been calling me, why are we labor out? Exactly. And what is this? So we need this clarity. But as of next week, we are going to visit the three administrative areas, engage with the citizen and civil society and their government, and be able to establish the office. It would be too late to build a new one, but we'll find the facilities to rent, because already we have received some money, establish the offices there, train their electoral officials.
If these legal clarities are not made ready to you before December, do you think it can implicate the conduct of election?
Yes, because it will have implications. Because you cannot conduct election without a clear legal framework.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my brother has been saying, that we need clear legal framework.
So there is already a stumbling block ahead of our neck.
Ahead of neck, and that is the right of the citizen to push the government and to push the political leaders.
Who should we push in this scenario here? Edmund Yakani?
Who has the ball?
Currently, because we have already submitted what we found inconsistent in the law to the Ministry of Justice.
Okay.
So it is now upon the Ministry of Justice and the Parliament to make sure that the law is amended timely to enable NEC lay the infrastructure and enabling environment for the citizen to protect their right.
Okay. So, in 1 minute before we go for a break.
Yes, it is Ministry of Justice to take the responsibility of this clarity. And Minister of Justice have a procedure of how to undergo with this. So we don't have a shortcut. That's one thing that
I think. There's enough time for all this to be amendment?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Honestly, if the political will is there and the commitment is there, you can roll out this process. But also, let me tell you, lack of this legal clarity will give anybody who does not want to accept the election's results, will sue the Electoral Commission into court, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right. Exactly. So we don't want anybody to start having, like what you say, politicians will look into these loopholes, and it's going to be a battle in the legal court.
Okay.
Like, how do you go ahead? How do you move this?
Right. Okay, we'll come back for that later on. You are listening to The Roundtable. My name is Annie Martin, and we are discussing, can election be conducted in December this year? And I have my guest here in the studio, Honorable Gabriel Boldeng, who is the Secretary General of the National Election Commission, and Edmund Yakani is the Executive Director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. Our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call us and be part of our discussion. Hello and welcome to the second hour of the Roundtable. My name is Annie Martin. We are coming to live from Juba. And today we are examining whether South Sudan can deliver a credible election ahead of the planned December 2026 polls. The discussion comes after the National Elections Commission announced the release of $5 million US dollars for civic and voter education and another $1 million for voter registration preparations. Our panel is also exploring whether the country is truly ready for its first ever election since independence, looking at issues such as voter preparedness, security, funding, electoral institutions, and the issue of legal clarities. And we are also asking, how can the election funds be used and what still need to be done to ensure free, fair, and credible election? And I have with me here in the studio two of my panelists, Honorable Gabriel Boldeng, is the Secretary General of the National Election Commission, and I have Edmund Yakani, who is the Executive Director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, SEPO. And you can call us on 091-206-7929 or 091-206-7829, or you can also call us on 091-206-8101. send us your question to our SMS number 0912177141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here. Yes, just a quick one before we give enough time for our listeners, because these are the people who are going to be registered and participate in the election. Yes, Honorable Gabriel Ball, what are some of the issues you think should be done right now to ensure free, fair, and a credible election? And also, have you given a timeline for these, the political parties or whoever is in charge or the government, to come forward on this issue of the legal clarities? Is there a timeline you have set for them as you are handing over your report to that body or Minister of Justice or I don't know who?
Yeah, already we have submitted the areas that we need to be amended.
To the Minister of Justice.
The Minister of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
As of next week, we already have a realistic timeline that said activities for each day until the polling. So that is something that commission will establish so that you know from day, that is called electoral operations. So we'll come up with a realistic electoral roadmap that will detail all the activities, candidate nominations, registrations, and all of this. So, and that is the critical document that the commission has worked on, and then they will avail it after the end. Because, again, on Monday is a critical day that the commission will announce the actual day, the election day in December. So they have met last week, or this week, the commission has deliberated and they made their decisions. So that is the big announcement that is expecting on Monday.
On Monday. So on Monday, and the National Election Commission will announce the actual date of the voting.
Yeah. The commissioners have already, as a policymaker, they have already deliberated last week. So it is they have already resolved the day. And then now they will announce to the people of South Sudan. And after that, it will be a realistic electoral timeline until election day. So what do we mean? When they announce that day, I don't know yet. When they announce that day, then the election will start, the activities will start coming back.
Mm-hmm. The countdown will begin.
Yeah, the countdown will begin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And let's find out from you again about the use of the money. Can you commit to our listeners today that every contract, procurement process, and expenditure related to the $6 million will be made public for citizens to scrutinize for accountability purposes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm the main chief accounting officer.
Okay.
And my goal is to work in compliance with the Public Procurement and Accountability Act, because there's nothing here to hide. Because the money is to enable us to prepare the citizen and the environment. So we'll definitely be transparent and accountable to the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Edmund, what is your expectation for this big announcement coming on Monday, as per the SG statement right now?
My bigger expectation is that, number one, I wish some politicians should prepare their appeals close. Because that announcement is going to be a big shock to some politicians.
Announcing the election date.
Yeah, you know, when the SG starts saying, people start questioning, like, how can I win now?
So I will tell them, read your Bible.
So that announcement is going to raise some diabetes up, so some diabetes low.
Do they want you to coach them on how to win?
Some people are looking for coaching. So I think if somebody is looking for employment, open your consultancy on how to win elections. So most of them will report.
Does that confirm your worry that some of these politicians are so much afraid that if they go for elections, some of them might not be elected?
And those who have the concept of access to power through barrel the gun on Monday, some of them will start thinking about where is the bushes.
Mm.
And I'm quite sure the bushes right now should be dry. Let there be no rain. Let the environment dry, because some are going to get shocked on that, and we're going to expect a huge political attack on NEC for those who feel that NEC is compromised, while actual NEC is applying the law.
What the election day will do would be to everybody, including the president, is that the leadership, their current responsibility is time.
Exactly.
Until that day.
Exactly.
So that what this mean?
Exactly.
That,
Say that again.
I think I was saying that what worried the politicians
is the timing.
The timing
of every activity.
And even the president.
Okay.
That when we now on the election day. So it means that the responsibility is time.
Okay.
Until that voting day.
Every day is programmed.
Exactly.
Is programmed.
And then
3 days, in September, the government will be dissolved.
That's what I want to bring.
So that is another big thing. So the government will be dissolved. The president will be sitting in his house. He will go to work. Yeah. The constitution allowed that.
Okay.
Will be with the six, with the five vice president. But they will be going to their office. But everybody, no.
Ministers will be at home.
Yeah, the governor will be at home.
So no more being a governor again. Okay.
So president will still be president until the people of South Sudan determine who will be the next elected president.
Okay. Yeah. So now,
the fear is, Sammy, the fear is Monday, many people are not afraid of Monday. Politicians are not afraid on Monday of next saying the election day is this day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that many of them are going to watching in the statement of the Electoral Commission, when will election say government is dissolved? Because most of them are calculating the day of the dissolution of a government.
Okay.
And on what basis government. So I'll tell you, you just watch on Monday. Many politicians will be much more focusing, when is government going to be dissolved?
Okay.
When am I losing my... And that is going to raise, for citizen, that is going to raise the bar of corruption very high. So as on Monday, the Electoral Commission declared the Electoral Day and the day of the government, we must be keen watching at the politicians how they eat, which restaurants, which they're going to run away with the money towards election. So we must be very keen because...
All right. Okay. And just this one question and we begin picking calls. Secretary General, what does the law say for those people who are either a military general and at the same time a governor and they want to contest? Should they hang over their caps and boots and join a civil population as a civilian to contest for any elective post? Can you explain?
Yeah, I say the law is already clear, starting from the political parties, that you have to deregister your army. In order to be illegally registered political parties, you have to surrender your army to the national army. To the national army, yeah. So it is the same thing. You cannot be a general, active general, and be a politician. No, you will not qualify for that. So you have to delink yourself.
But it is happening now in South Sudan. You know.
Obviously.
That.
Obviously.
But on election day.
On election day, no. When the election day, when you come as from the party, when you are registering, contesting for honey for positions, these are the nitty gritty things that need to be checked. Are you still active in the army? Or
who does that? Is it the PPC or it's you? Is it the political party council?
It's PPC. It is PPC. And
This
is where I want to take this opportunity to tell the citizens, the coordinators of PPC, that's part of their role.
Okay.
It's part of the code of conduct. So these coordinators announced by the leaders of PPC, they are not free. They are not for employment. They can't enjoy. Part of their responsibility is to ensure political parties are not filing active military people as a candidate for electoral position. It's not NEC.
Okay.
It's PPC credibility because it's a law under PPC.
If a citizen discover that I am a general still active, can I report to NEC?
PPC.
You
can report to NEC and PPC.
And NEC too. And even after PPC now, we have our own regulations.
Yes.
When all the presidential candidates, all of these. So when you submit, we do our own due diligence.
Yes.
Yeah, we do our own due diligence to make sure that the law is appropriately applied.
Okay. And is there a special consideration by NEC to cater for people with special needs, disabilities, if they want to vote?
Absolutely, because, again, everybody has to vote. So we have already a policy, inclusion policy. And when we say election is credible and inclusive, so inclusivity means everybody. So we have to provide the platform to make sure that everybody vote, beginning with the accessibility of our infrastructure, like, for example, in our new building. So we have to make sure that there is a ramp. There is a ramp to enable them access, and all the voting centers make sure that they are accessible to people with disability. People with the special needs will be there. And then also will be considered for employment.
Exactly. So, even candidates.
Yeah, Even candidates.
Candidates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Candidate,
they can contest.
So, mm-hmm. Because your disability cannot disqualify you exactly. to exercise your democratic right.
Okay. Yes, our lines are now open. You can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929 and be part of our discussion as we discuss this very important topic here with my two guests. And we are examining whether South Sudan can deliver a credible election ahead of the planned December 2026 polls. And you have heard from the Secretary General of the National Election Commission, Honorable Gabriel Boldeng, who says on Monday, which is next week on the 22nd of... Yes.
I'm actually the one that the word honorable. No, I'm a civil servant. I don't need the word honorable. It's just called Mr. Gabriel Boldeng. Yes.
That's what I need, like those
times. I'm the servant. I'm technical, so I don't need to be honorable.
Okay.
Because I'm serving people.
The most important thing here is that on Monday, the National Election Commission will be announcing the actual date of the election. So you listen carefully on Monday. It's a big day.
It's a big day.
Yeah, it's a big day.
It's a day of shocks.
Yeah, it's a day of shock. So the should I call that electoral or election calendar?
Yeah, that will mark the election calendar.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it means. And again, everything is time.
Okay.
Your leadership, being a governor, being an MP,
so you know
being
when,
a mayor, all of this.
So I should know when my governor will stop work by Monday.
Yeah. I think you should know.
Okay. And then people who are preparing to contest, you should now begin warming up.
Warming up within your party, beginning with your party.
What about if I want to be as an independent? Does the law allow that?
The law allowed that. Yeah.
Okay.
The law allowed that. Yeah.
One thing again, the age for anyone who wants to contest, is that in the law? If I want to contest for presidency, for governor, for MP, what age?
I think for president, for president, for 45 after.
45
up to you.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, you can call us right now and be part of our discussion. Hello?
Yeah, Thomas here calling from Yambio.
Okay, Thomas, go ahead with your question from Yambio.
Yeah, I have only two questions, Justice and Martin. My first question is, I am still worrying. I want to know the name of a candidate who will gain the standing in the course of President, because I am starting now, I want to start preparing myself. I want to know who I will go and vote for.
Okay.
That is my first question. Then my second question is, there is some people who are here, they are asking me that which people who are going to vote. The people who are underage, they will go and vote for what? That is my two questions to the guest.
Okay, I think that was already cleared, that for you, the eligible age is 18 years and above. That was what the SG said in the beginning of our discussion. Maybe you missed that. Hello, Redi Mirai. Yes, Telfuk.
Yes.
Go ahead with the question.
Now, I start with the Secretary General. We are going for election. And before you say that, you will go for a Senate state and a state area to prepare the centers for election. The centers seen in 2010 will be increased or will be reduced? That is the first question. Second question, I want to know the areas that cannot be connected with the road, how can the people can connect it? The third, Munikani, all of us, you are active on social media. Now, I want to ask you, yesterday we heard about the Angok Ngor was detained. And the Angok is not against the government. As you are the network of the citizen and government, what is your take on that matter?
Hello, Redi Mirai.
Camilo Owamsi in Fagao area.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
I'm glad to have Edmond Yakani in the studio and SD.
Okay, go ahead.
If first of the first week of July is now passed with the voter registration, will citizens of this country hold you accountable or you will resign from National Election Commission in this country?
And some of you are already sending in your queries. This one says we have a lot of IDPs in the country or around the country. Will you be visiting these IDPs and register them in those places, or there is a plan to repatriate them to their villages? That's from Jackson in Juba here. Another SMS here is coming from Tabdiu Tap in Bentium, United States. Will this election be done without census security arrangement? How are you going to reach out to those areas controlled by the SPLA-IO? This is from Tabdiu Tap in Bentium, going to the Secretary General of the National Election Commission. What is the one major fear that always is being discussed by the nine commissioners in the National Election Commission, which you think will derail or hinder the conduct of a free, fair, and credible election in this country? No name. Please do send us your name. Yes, SG, let's begin with you.
What was the first question? Is there, when somebody from Yambio?
Yes,
what
Thomas.
What was his name? Thomas.
Yes,
went
Thomas.
To know,
yeah.
Who are the presidential candidates?
Yeah.
And again, that is why the electoral roadmap is very important. So there are times, sequencing. So there would be a time for a candidate to do submission.
So that now is for the political parties now to do that?
The political parties is registering the parties.
Mm.
But the parties will pass, choose, they will do their convention, they choose their presidential candidate, and now they will submit who are those presidential candidates for the parties. And there is time in the electoral timeline that on this specific day, the parties should submit their presidential candidate.
Mm.
Currently, we don't know yet. And currently, time will come where it will be announced. And then Thomas will know who are the presidential candidate.
Okay.
Currently, we don't. The time is not has not allowed for that to submit the names.
Yes. Telfuk from Juba here is asking, are you going to rely on the 2010 centers or it will be increased? And then he asked about the infrastructure challenges across the country. Is that a nightmare? Because you need to transport your materials from here to Raja, from here to Reng, from here to Kapoita, from here to those far, far places.
And I think that is one of the things. What these commissioners is worrying them, what are they thinking? It is really the infrastructure, the transport of materials, the road, the flood, all of this. So, but it is, again, a work of the government to make sure where there is polling center, there has to be road leading there.
Mm.
Of course, the population of South Sudan has increased, and there is a law in every voting registration centers. There is a number of people that should be in the registration center. If there are more than what the law allowed, then now, of course, there will be a lot of registration center and polling station, because our population has grown since 2010. So, of course, yeah, there will be more voting centers and polling stations.
Mm. And the issue of infrastructure, is it a big scenario where you
see? It is a very big scenario, and it's one of our worries. Mm. It worries the commissioners, it worries us too, because the roads are bad, the flooding area and all of this.
Mm.
But again, we have the mitigations.
Yeah.
How to do it. But again, that goes to the governors now, goes to the mayor, goes to the Buma administrators. Roads are very important because we want our citizens to access their voting center. So we will call out all the governors to make sure where there are, at least there has to be a minimum accessibility to the voting station so that our people are free to go and vote and choose their the leaders, but it is more of a government work. Ministry of Road, my good friend Peter Lam, that is his job to make sure road, make sure citizens are assessing their center. And we see recently with the going of
the president to
Barakzadi. So we went to extend this to all the voting center.
Okay, and there is another question from Andrea that, if the first week of July passes without any voter registration, what happens?
There are more days, but our goal is to make sure that we will start the registration.
Mm.
And again, there's a number of the days, so six months is still more.
Yeah.
But again, our pressure to the Ministry of Finance to release as much as possible. This 1 million is good. It will make us now assess the voting center, design our form, engage the vendors so that our things are in print. Because the most important thing we need, we cannot register if we don't have a registration form.
Okay.
And we need to print
Where are they going to be? Here in Juba or outside the country?
The commission has not decided yet. Mm-hmm. So it is the
work of the procurement.
Okay. That is the procurement, yeah.
Yes.
And we don't have enough money to, but already we have the form, we have all, but where to be printed, the commission has not decided.
So you have the design, everything is in place.
Yeah, we have designed the registration forms.
Okay. Another question, IDPs are all over the country, beginning from Juba here. Mm. And they are not originally from Juba. They're supposed to go, like you said, to where they are from so that they can vote for their own MP. Will you register them here in Juba, or there is an arrangement to take them back to their villages?
That is what Kekani said, political clarity.
Mm.
That the politicians, the political parties, and the political leadership has to decide what to do with that. So it is not a question of neck. But the law is very clear, especially with the president, that wherever you are, you can vote for the president.
Yeah.
But for the IDPs, it is, again, part of the legal
clarity
and political decisions from the political leaders.
Okay. The question of areas controlled by armed group or IO, where it's going to be difficult for you to access.
So this is a very good question. Currently, we have a Joint Election Security Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the body that is in charge to assess and analyze.
Is that under the Ministry of Interior?
Yeah, the Ministry of Interior. And currently, the law said there would be more than 50,000 trained police officers.
Yeah.
And there is this body that will be in charge to make sure in every step they will analyze the security situation, and then they will recommend to NEC. And our situation is not in isolation. Recently in Ethiopia, the whole region of Tigrinya has not voted. Last year or 2 years ago in DRC.
Mm.
So these are responsibility of the government to make sure there is security. But again, it will be analyzed step by step. This body, joint election security bodies, that is in charge under the Ministry of Interior.
Mm.
And every step on the way, they will be updating NEC, and then NEC will make a decision. Will election be possible in that area? But in that area, given the prevailing security situation, yeah.
Okay. And before we hand over to Yakan, there is another question here from Peter Garang in Northern Bahar Ghazal State, and he says, Secretary General, do you believe that these remaining months will be enough for all the activities you are going to release next week?
That is, again, legal clarity.
Mm.
Yeah, by next week, if the law is clear, political decisions are made, then 6 months is enough to contact that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Garang, you have to push for your MP, national MP here. Ask them, what are they doing in Juba? That now the electoral law is in the parliament. So that is a citizen duty to make sure to get in touch with their MP so that law is passed on time and enable the NEC now to prepare the playing field.
Okay. Yes, Edmond Yakani, you had a couple of questions.
Questions, yeah. I think I will start with Willie Ngor arrest.
Mm.
Of course, that's a big challenge, and good enough that he's released.
Talking about civic space now.
Yeah, exactly. That's around civic and political space,
yeah.
And this is a big test to the political parties. It's a big test for PPC in terms of protecting the political space. So I think that case of Ngor have sent a signal that if you're going to be vocal, and I think for me it's also a test for our security institutions. If they start protecting citizens, not to question leaders, in a very constructive, because if you look at Ngor's statement, it have nothing to do with hate speech, it has nothing to do with incitement, it has nothing. He's just trying to raise the consciousness of citizens. If you're going to vote, know the value of your vote. The value of your vote equals to the infrastructure that you want, equals services. But some people undertake responsibility to arrest him. And sometimes this is abuse of the law.
Mm.
And that's why I think for me, for the case of Ngor, somebody have to apologize for that act, and somebody have to be held accountable for us to start testing the civic and political space. And the question comes, at the same time, he is a youth leader of the SPLM. If that can happen to the youth leader of SPLM, now, if you're non-SPLM youth leader, what will happen? Some governors are already out there. Some MPs are out there campaigning. I can see some ministers, national ministers giving money, campaigning, some governors campaigning. But that campaign is not legal because you need to wait for a timeline of a neck. And of course, those are the things we need to register down as citizens, and we need to hold them accountable. The question of the IDPs, of course, you have answered that they require a clarity of the law. Should an IDP in POC vote be transferred to his constituency? That's a legal clarity that neither of us here can provide an answer. It's until the legal clarity is put forward. And the insecurity is a real check, is a real challenge before the elections. That it means with a security arrangement, there's a likely some constituents are going to be isolated because of insecurity, and that is based on the assessment of the security, and that questions the credibility of the elections. And that's why it's very important for us to take political responsibilities before we can go to the polling station. And that's the question of inclusivity becoming very essential. The other thing that I'd like to put forward is that the question of the registration, I think you have made it, you have answered very clear. Somebody underage cannot be registered, he can't vote. And that's a responsibility of citizens to ensure that underage people are not being used to manipulate numbers of the electoral candidate. I think that's what I will answer. And, okay. And the brother from Unity and the brother from Unity have raised a concern that it is very important. One thing I'd like to bring to the attention of everybody is that also we should have election dispute resolution. Because we're going to have dispute of the elections.
Yeah.
Some people are going to challenge the results. Remember, in 2010, with the peace and stability, we have four rebel groups born as a declaration of the results. Remember?
Yeah.
David Yao Yao in Jongole, James, what do you call this Gadet.
In the Unity State.
In Unity State. You have Peter Sule in Central Equatoria. And then you have... if in 2010 with the stability, we have people who feel discontented. So our commitment to election dispute resolution is very important. And this is where actors...
Who should form that?
Of course, electoral commission has to come with rules and regulations. And of course, so it's part of standards of creating an enabling environment for the election, election commission. But these religious leaders need to be tasked and people have to take responsibility into the electoral dispute resolution. Because some of them are going to go to court.
Yeah.
The independent judiciary in taking down some of these election dispute resolutions is very important because it's a key pillar in securing peaceful election. So the question comes,
and I think that already, this is a very important point, election is how to settle dispute within election. So NEGA, we already have our committee, election dispute committee. We have developed regulations, and currently we are working hand in hand with the Ministry of Justice because the court will be established to resolve. Because the election dispute will be whatever will be at level of NEC. NEC can resolve using our committee. But after election is declared, all of this, then now that is a court matter. So we already have that committee, and the Minister of Justice, we have met, and they are collaborating with us to prepare to establish electoral dispute court.
Okay, we have this question coming from Godfrey Nzanganze here in Juba, and Godfrey is saying that my question is going to all of you, and I would like you to answer them. The level of insecurity across the country is becoming so alarming. And we have abduction happening in Morobo, where people are being abducted, civilians are being killed. And his question is to the National Election Commission, what mechanism have we put in place to ensure the safety of your staffs who are going to be moving in these areas? And Edmund Yakani, what do you think can be the recommendation for the Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Defense, and other government institutions to make sure this issue of insecurity is resolved so that people go for election free and fair? Yes, let's begin with the SG, the safety of your staff.
Yeah, as I already say, we have a joint election security committee.
Oh, 50,000.
50,000. So these are the body, they are now undergoing training. So to make sure our polling staff are very safe, the voters are safe. So, and again, we urge the government, the security is a responsibility of the government. And especially the Ministry of Interior. And they have already put these people in training to make sure our people, our citizens, our election officials are safe. But the secure aspect is the work of the government.
Okay. Yes, Edmund.
Yeah, of course, you know, one of the...
People are worried about the issue of abduction. You issued a statement 2 days ago.
Exactly. Insecurity is the biggest threat to the electoral process. And remember... Elections is a political activity. So those political actors that have armed to win and who does not want the elections to go, they're going to raise the incidences. That is the reality. And that's why ceasefire is very important in the face of this election. Ceasefire require inclusive dialogue among the actors who are politically discontented. And this is one of the hindrances, by the way. One of the hindrances is that insecurity is the biggest threat to the elections. So we cannot massage it. Mm-hmm. We need to have a ceasefire, and ceasefire, we need a quick, inclusive dialogue among the armed actors to agree. And the armed actors to agree, what does that mean in relation to the timeline of the Electoral Commission? So, and the Security Committee is going to make a decision. And likely, with the raising insecurity, we may see some constituencies or some areas being isolated because of the high level of insecurity and the threat towards the next office. And I'm quite sure that also officials of NEC is going to be a biggest target of these other groups in terms of undermining and sabotaging the election. So for me, everything rests upon political decisions that need to be made urgently, in order, because we don't want to victimize South Sudanese who will be working for NEC for political reasons. They have nothing to pay a price with their lives because of political discontented positions.
Okay.
But the political actors need to make a quick decision over this before we go to that biggest threat, which is the insecurity.
All right. Our lines are still open. You can call us on 091-206-7879. Hello, Redi Mirai.
This is me, David Mungo from WOW.
David, go ahead.
I have some few questions now to the people who are concerned with the election. Number one, the agreement is talking about Chapter 2. That is security arrangement. And this is where the problem is. This Chapter 2 is the obstacle to election. We, the citizen, we are appearing now, somebody in the house is insecure. The rest are in the bushes. Some are even in different countries. And this security arrangement, people don't want to talk about. You are talking about election now. What will be the solution of it? Another thing for these people of NEC, if you are talking about civic education, if you are complaining in Wild Town, in Juba City, in Malakal, and you are not reaching the remote areas, now, why are you much concerned with the people who are secure rather than the people in the remote areas? Another thing concerning this issue of election, there is a new project of the court talking about the first vice president. An obstacle is the IO. IO now is the direct party which is having an agreement with the SCLM. And now the SCLM is only talking about election. And the other political party like IO did not register. They don't talk about election. They have army. And you people don't want to talk about it. What kind of election are you telling us?
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes, Edmund will be responding to that shortly. Hello? Hello? Tango Juliet from Malakal?
Yes. I have three questions and some part of questions have been asked. My first, all three questions are going to Bolu. What kind of government are we going to elect? Is it a unitary government? Is it a decentralized government? Is it a federal government? Or is it another government of national unity? Because we don't know what constitution are we going to elect this government on. And the second question is, it is clear that there's only one political party out of 33 registered political parties talking about election. Should other political parties decide not to participate in this election, will NEC push with the election and say this election is an force, or will NEC say no, this election is null and void? That's the second question. And the last question is, some of the people that are going to contest in this election are accused by human rights. They have been mentioned several times to have committed crime and human rights violations. So will NEC clear these people also to contest, or NEC will send them to court and say, you go and clear your name with court and come with a certificate of good conduct so that we can clear you to contest in this election? And thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tango Juliet from Malakal. And we have a couple of SMS coming in here from our listeners. And this one says, my question is going to the SG. I am Alfred Mayen Diu in Arumbek Lakes State, and he says, my question is going to the NEC SG. Many South Sudanese are living outside as refugees, and is there any arrangement for them to come back and participate, or does the law permit the refugees to participate in the election? SG, please do clarify for our refugees. And another SMS here is coming from Daniel. Daniel is writing from Juba here, Moniki. And he says, Edmond Yakani, the civil society have always been raising concerns about civic space. Citizens currently free enough to campaign, organize, and express political opinion without fear. And his second part of the question of Daniel is that, Mr. Yakani, you have always given, the critics say that civil society always highlights problem but rarely offer practical solutions. What concrete actions should be taken immediately to improve confidence in the electoral process? That's from Daniel going to Edmund Yakani, and he's writing from Juba here. Yes, SG, let's begin with some of these questions coming in here. Yes, let's begin with this one from Tango Juliet. You did mention about the issue of legality. What kind of election should South Sudanese expect to go for in, if you announce the date on Monday? And if other political parties out of the 33, maybe 20, decide to boycott, will this election be null and void, or what happens? Will NEC go ahead to conduct this election? And the third critical question from Tango Juliet is, there are some people who are alleged to have committed human rights violation in this country. Will NEC clear them to contest for any elective post in this country? And the question from Mayen in Lake State, Alfred Mayen, about refugees across, will they be allowed to vote for either the president or whoever they want to participate or elect?
Yeah, the law is very clear. No, this is what we were talking about, legal clarity and political decisions. Though the issue of the refugees is a political decision.
Okay.
But the law is very clear on presidential, that anywhere in the world, if you registered, then you can choose the president. But so for the others' seats, it is
so
not.
So the refugees, if they register, they can vote for the president?
They can vote, yeah. That the law has.
Where will they register? Clear. In the camp?
That is, again, the legal clarity.
Mm.
Where will... which countries or which areas of where the citizens are that they are allowed to, for us, that will be allowed to go and set up our registration center, all of this. So this, again, it falls under legal...
clarity.
Political decisions.
Okay.
From the political parties.
Okay.
And he talked about the type of the government and the level of the elections.
Yeah.
So now the law said it's general election, and this is what the NEC is preparing. It is general election. But seeing the legal framework is in the parliament for amendment, then now it is the legislators that will make what type of election. Will it be presidential? Will it be the executive level? Will it all of it? So that is a part of legal clarity. But now the law said it's a general election, and this is what the NEC has prepared for.
Have NEC just realized that it's a general election, or you knew this long time
ago?
No,
it is a law. Mm-hmm. Seen 2012, that is general election.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you, why didn't you come forward and say, okay, please, we need clarity on this? Why did you wait up to now?
Because what from the very beginning, two years ago, let me go back, when the government extended the government for the third time in September 2020. We came out with a communique, NEC.
Yes.
And, telling the government that 24 months is not enough for the three electoral process. The agreement and the constitution said general election should be held in accordance with the new constitution. The law said there must be census. And then time was running out. And last year, again, we said the time, you had been hearing our chairman saying on time is running out. So last year, I think in late October, the government realized that the time is not enough. So this is where they said, what can we do? They call all the three electoral activities, electoral institutions.
Yeah.
And said, what can we do now? The time is running out. What do you recommend? What the national... Constitutional Mega Review Committee, National Bureau of Statistics, and the NEC.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the called three electoral institutions.
Yeah.
So they asked us, the political parties and the government, now what should you do? We said, okay, your census, the most important election is a registered voter. So basically you don't need census for somebody to register. So it is them that they said, oh, the link these two.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is the process. It was not us.
Okay.
It was the politicians and legislators that led to the delaying of the act.
Okay. And Tango Juliet, the other part is, will you go ahead to conduct election if only one political party register and file their candidate, others boycott?
The law is very clear. There must be candidate to run.
Mm.
So. And again, to at the level of political parties and politicians, that
it's up to them.
It is up to them. It is not neck decision.
Okay. Yeah. Anyone implicated in any human rights violation will neck clear that person to contest for any post.
The law is very clear, and I think it fall under the political party council is not the work of neck.
Okay.
Yeah, the law is very clear and. It will be up to political party councils.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Edmund Yakani.
Let me start with this.
Yes.
Let me start with this question. If you see a candidate that have a criminal record and his criminal record is not addressed by a court of law and you know this person is contesting, whether being an MP at a state level, national level, or any electoral position, as a citizen, you have the right to file a case against that candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So citizens will be aware of that. So if you know they have a track record that is not clear, whether don't wait for NEC to clear it, don't wait for PPC to clear it. Just as a citizen, you have the right to file a complaint.
Somebody can challenge you, Edmund, you know the situation very well.
No, but let me tell you, if you demand for democracy, it goes with a price.
Yeah.
Like Moore was saying, no way, no way, what happened? You have to somehow stay somewhere for 8 hours and you have to campaign for him to be released. That is the price for democracy.
Okay.
And you have to stand for it. So for me, citizen, let us not wait whether the political party is cancelled or not. It is our responsibility to challenge people who have no clean record.
Okay.
If they file the candidature, let's file a case against them.
Okay, because of the interest of time, I want you to go to the question of security arrangement and...
let me tell you, straightforward. Without proper security arrangement, this election is going to be undermined and some politicians are going to use it as an instrument. So for me, we need to have a quick conversation around security arrangement for the electoral process if the political parties agree. And if the political parties want to have a pathway that is good, is let's go for inclusive dialogue and set up the security, get ceasefire, go to chapter 2, look at chapter 2, how do we handle it? That's for me. And some politicians will use that to delay election until our grave. They will continue with that. But for me, responsibility goes for the party. Political parties will go for that. Let's come to the question of the campaign. Political parties council need to instruct parties that start advance campaign outside electoral
circle.
It's a political parties council. PPC must warn these parties who start campaigning without the electoral circle. It is a neck to declare when campaign start and when campaign start and end. So why do you start campaign? Who are you above the law to start a campaign before it's announced by NEC? So political parties council have that responsibility. And that's why the coordinators that were appointed for the council, as a citizen, we must hold them accountable. They're not there for job. They're there for accountability. So it's there to report back to the leadership. And I like the chairperson of the political parties council being proactively.
They came out with their conduct.
Exactly. Yeah. They put a code of conduct. So as citizen, we need to have the copy of that code of conduct and held them accountable on the code of conduct. That's for me is something that's very critical. Let's come to the question of civic space. Civic space is always informed. And for me, one of the things to civic space is that as citizen, we need to tell some security institutions that their actions will demobilize citizens to rebel against elections. The case of Moore is very clear. So the security committee have a responsibility to tell the security that, look here, freedom of expression and freedom of speech is part and parcel of a standard of credible and peaceful election and nonviolent election. Otherwise, if you have that, that's good. Now, what is concrete solution can we do for the confidence? The security committee have to come out publicly and tell the citizen, like what the president did for the national dialogue. And for me, the trust and the confidence is that security have to be instructed. Any person who express his or her opinion in relation to the electoral process should not be detained and should not be threatened. Because let me tell you, some of the things are not going to have an effect on security, by the way. We should not blame national security or police or military. If some politician will abuse their powers, they will use their bodyguards. They will lose their bodyguards, they will lose their sons in this institution without this institution instructing them to do that. I think for me as a citizen, we also want to track these people who are in uniform and abusing their authority for the protection of their uncles or their fathers. That's for me what I would put as a concrete solution for the confidence towards the elections. My final response to is the question of hunger. The hunger, the lack of salaries. This guy from WOW.
The
V8. Yeah. The V8. These are very serious campaign agenda. You come with the V8 before I vote for you. Where is my salary?
Mm-hmm.
This is it. So if you have 6 million for
this
neck,
is
if, exactly. If you have 6 million for neck, that 6 million, why don't you keep it all this time and don't bring the salaries?
Okay.
So without my salary, no vote for you.
All right.
So this is a serious campaign.
Okay.
The hunger, I'm hungry. You are coming with V8 and water.
And I think this is what the election is trying to resolve.
Exactly.
Instead of having a lean government.
Yeah.
That is, and also show the people that will not come to Juba and buy behaviors on your expense.
Okay. Yes, SG, briefly, what is your message to people listening to you as we wait for the big announcement on Monday?
Number one, the National Election Commission, or I want to assure the people of South Sudan that National Election Commission is committed to conduct transparent, inclusive, and professional electoral activities. While progress has been made, a lot of activities still has to be done. And as my brother Yakani said, it is a citizen responsibility to call out the government and to make sure that all the decisions that need to be made, legal clarity, political decision, has to be done. And lastly, I call upon the government of South Sudan to ensure timely release of resources and institutional support for NEC, political actors, to demonstrate commitment to peaceful men and citizens to actively participate in upcoming civic and voter registration.
Thank you so much, Gabriel Boldeng and Edmond Yakani. Our time is up. I appreciate your time. We hope to speak to you all the time on this very important topic. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, we have come to the end of our discussion for today. My name is Annie Martin. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to other programs coming up.